Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. And it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, then the best question wins the KSN sweatshirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross, all you got to do is download our app. It's Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button, and there you go. All right, Ross, you ready for the fans' questions?
Absolutely.
Let's start with our good buddy Tony in Philadelphia. Ross, I enjoy your work and your enthusiasm. I've never understood the penalty for offensive linemen downfield. What is an offensive lineman allowed to do on a running play and a pass? And how do screenplays fit into the restrictions? Keep up the good work.
Good question. Somebody actually asked me this on the Ross Tucker football podcast recently. I don't know that I even got to get into it yet. So first of all, in college football, you're allowed to be 3 yards downfield. In the NFL, you're really only allowed to be like a yard and a half downfield. You can be as far downfield as you want on a running play. There's no such thing as illegal man downfield on a running play. The issue is, on passing plays, you don't want guys that aren't eligible down the field confusing the situation for the defenders and or blocking defenders while the ball's in the air or hasn't even been thrown yet. So it's a good rule, and they should have it. It's gotten a lot more attention recently because of the high percentage of RPOs, run-pass options, that teams employ. So, for example, run-pass option, right? You're allowed, you know, they run-pass options are always a called run for the offensive line. The offensive line is blocking run. They have to. The quarterback is the one that can decide whether or not to throw the ball instead. But they're not blocking to pass protect and help the quarterback. They're blocking for the run. So the quarterback kind of does that at his own peril. So what happens is, if you call an RPO, the longer the quarterback waits before he throws the ball, the greater the chance is that a lineman gets downfield. Here's the thing, though. You are allowed to be downfield if you're engaged with a defender. So if you engage with a guy in the first 3 yards and stay on him, let's say you're driving him down the field, you stay locked on to him, you can be 40 yards downfield as long as you're locked on to that guy and driving him down the field. As for screen passes, those are thrown behind the line of scrimmage. So you can be downfield if the throw is behind the line of scrimmage. It's on passes past the line of scrimmage that you cannot be more than 3 yards downfield in college football.
Okay, you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about passes behind the line of scrimmage. Let's go with Steve in Huntington Valley, who says, "What a great weekend of NFL football. Even got to listen to Ross call some of the Bucks-Rams game. The best part of the weekend, though, was seeing Nick Scott and Robbie Gould play so well. My question for Ross and Jim, as lifelong Penn State fans, what are your favorite Penn Stater in the NFL playoff moments? Mine is probably Kurt Warner in the 83 playoffs versus the Dolphins, but would love to hear your memories."
You know what's interesting? And this is the truth. I've never cared that much or followed it that closely what the Penn State guys do in the NFL. I mean, I know what kind of careers they're having, And I'm glad when they do well. But I guess I don't look at it that way. You know, I root for Penn State football. And I like when Penn State football does well. I like when my alma mater, Princeton, does well. And then the NFL, you know, I like when the Eagles do well because they do a bunch of stuff for them. And I like when the Buffalo Bills do well because that was the school I have, the team I have the greatest affinity for. But nothing really comes to mind for me here, Jim. I'd have to think about it, but I've never looked at it that way. Like I'm watching this. I never watched a playoff game specifically thinking anything about Penn State. And by the way, on Sunday when Nick Scott had a big hit, a lot of people, I don't know if you heard about this, Jim, but a lot of people, I got a bunch of tweets and stuff about it. I said, great Scott! That was a great, good play by Nick. And I said to the play-by-play guy, you know what that's from? You know what movie that's from? You know? Do you know what movie it's from, Jim?
All I could think of, Braveheart? Because it's Scott?
No. Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
Emmett Brown, Doc Brown. He's like, great Scott, Marty! You know, like he says that so many times, great Scott! And so when Nick Scott made a big play, I was like, great Scott, that was a heck of a play.
Did you have that comment ready before the game?
No, I didn't.
Good for you.
It just comes to me. Right. But the one thing I will say is Nick Scott has really surprised me. He wasn't even like a full-time starter at Penn State. And now he's become a really good safety. Remember he was a running back at Penn State? He's become a really good safety in the NFL.
It seems like those DBs do excel in the NFL from Penn State. I'm going to give Steve an answer here. I'm more like you, Ross. When they hit the NFL, I'm, you know, not so in tune to them as the Penn Stater. But if you want a playoff moment for a Penn Stater, how about Franco Harris with the immaculate reception? Doesn't that have to be number one on your list? And the
absolutely, but that's well before my time. It is interesting though, Jim. I can't think of other, you know, Chris Godwin had some great moments during the playoffs last year. I mean, there are other good Penn State player playoff moments, but none that really jump out to me, to be honest with you.
Well, I also do appreciate Steve's shout out for Kurt Warner, who I think is sometimes overlooked in the history of Penn State running backs. And just as an aside, I was at Penn State when Kurt Warner was there, so I really appreciate, you know, his talents and his skills. And I actually got to be on a basketball court, pick up basketball with him. And as far as judging him as an athlete, I will just say, oh, my God. Okay, absolutely incredible.
You know, it's funny. I always say when I played, I don't know if I ever told you this, Jim, but when I played for the Patriots, there would be like these charity, mainly charity basketball games, and then sometimes charity flag football. And it was awesome because they would fill up a high school gym because it'd be come see the Patriots play against our teachers. Or come see the Patriots play against the local police force, whatever, right? So it was a great cause. It would go to, they would raise plenty of money for the charity. We would actually get $500 cash to go. So I felt like I was a pro basketball player. It was incredible. Packed gyms. And there would always be like one teacher or one cop who was like a pretty good athlete, maybe played in college. And that was like their moment, right? Like they were so excited to show their community that they were a good athlete, that they were a good player and kind of show off. And they'd make some plays and they'd do some things and show some things. It would get to the point though that a couple of the Patriots, like Hank Poteet was a DB who played at Harrisburg High. Bam Childress was a receiver who played, who's from Cleveland. They would get to the point where if it was a close game late or if the guy was playing a little too hard or showboating, Jim, they could steal the ball from him every time and take it in for a layup. Every time. I remember we played up north of Boston in a flag football game, And watching like Lawrence Maroney and Ellis Hobbs play flag football against police officers, it's like I want to do a show. It's my idea for a show where it's professional athletes against normal guys, just so people can see how much of a difference it really is. Because watching Maroney and Ellis Hobbs dust, it was flag football. They couldn't get within 5 yards of him, Jim. I mean, it was not even close.
Well, I, as long as we're telling stories of football players playing basketball, Ross, again, going to my Penn State intramural career, I'm playing point guard. I'm 5'7", 135 pounds. We're playing a game. Well, there's a Penn State football player covering me. He's the point guard for their team. Guess what? He's an offensive lineman. And I looked at him. He was 6'3", 270 pounds, which doesn't sound big this day and age, but he was literally twice my size. I was 135 pounds. He was 270. Okay? A little bit of a mismatch, but at the very least, I'm going to be quicker than him, right? Wrong. Literally twice my weight, Ross, and he was quicker than me. I said,
So Jim, I'm not saying this to brag, okay? But if you ask my buddies from college, you know, when I was in the NFL, people would ask my college teammates and buddies, they're like, man, your buddies in the NFL, like, was he just like ridiculous? Like, what, you know? And they're like, well, he's 6'5", 300 pounds, and he was the point guard of our intramural basketball team. And he was good. Like, he could shoot threes. He could dribble. Those are the kind of guys that end up, you know, having the body control or whatever to play at the next level, right? People were always – they always thought I would just be some big slug down. I'd get the ball. I'd dribble up, pull up for a three, bang. So that always surprised people.
Well, it sounds like you were the Charles Barkley. You had the similar body shape then. Well, isn't he about? Wasn't he playing weight about 6'5", 300 pounds, and could do so much on the basketball court, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, he lost a bunch of weight, I think. I think Moses Malone said you can't be that heavy as he was his first couple of years. But, yeah, that was my guy. That's my favorite NBA basketball player ever.
Well, if you're a Sixers guy at all and as old as I am, you love Charles Barkley as a player and now afterwards. And I'm just filling out the time now, Ross, because we don't have enough time for another question. But I hope fans appreciated hearing about Ross the point guard. That you talked about the charity games. I would have paid to see that 6'5", 300-pound point guard. Ross would have loved to have seen it. All right, that's it for Ask Ross. We'll pick our winner in the next segment when Andy gets back here. Stay tuned.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.